Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And now it's time for the Prop Swap post-game show with Score senior football expert Hub Arkish and former Bears long snapping iron man Patrick Manley on Sports Radio 670 The Score, presented by PNC Bank, the official bank of the Chicago Bears.
Welcome, everybody, to our Prop Swap post-game show presented by New Mail. I am Hub Arkish, along with Patrick Manley. Not sure if we have a little extra in the background there, but it's great to have you all with us right now. Chicago Bears are 23-16 winners over the Carolina Panthers. Plenty of good stuff to talk about on defense. The offense continues to limp along just a bit. Certainly a number of questions. We'll get into it all. The phone number 312-644-6767 to speak to Patrick Manley and myself. We're going to be with you for the next 2 hours. We can get your texts as well at 312-644-6767. But we'd really rather you call. Give us a call and we will get you into the conversation. It's much more fun to discuss it with the best football fans in the world. And Patrick, there is plenty to discuss. I think one of the things that we had right all morning long is that the defense turned a corner against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 10 days ago and showed us more of the same today. Dominant a good part of the day. One of the touchdowns for the Panthers, an absolute gift from the officials on a bogus pass interference call. Really good performance by the defense. The rookie Jalen Johnson had an interesting day, but he made some plays in addition to some of the mistakes. The pressure was there all day. Offensively, I don't know. I kind of threw up my hands about halfway through the third quarter, so I don't know what you're thinking, feeling right now.
You know what? It's funny. You know, we did the pregame, and I think everything came to fruition of what we kind of talked about, that we wanted them to run the ball, but they're not going to run the ball. That almost bit him in the butt at the end of the game, not being able to run the four-minute offense and run the clock off. And again, Matt Nagy makes an interesting call at third and two to make the throw the pass and not burn the timeout and run more time. Thank God the defense came through and did what they did. But, I mean, the defense is just – they're playing lights out. The pressure on Teddy Bridgewater got to him, obviously, with that last interception as well. But just throughout the game, you know, I think he had 48 yards – yeah, he had 48 yards rushing, but those are scramble yards. I mean, they were getting after him, getting him out of the pocket. The defense just played great. Eddie Jackson with that, you know, physical play. And what was interesting to me, Hub, it's almost like the referees didn't like the game, didn't want the game to be too physical. The Bears were too physical, and they were like, no, we got to call these penalties on you. You're beating them up too much. And there were just some calls in the game that were interesting and head-scratching. But overall, I think it was exactly what we thought it was going to be. I kind of thought it was going to be a somewhat of a comfortable game throughout. You know, we matched their rosters in the pregame and said the Bears are just a better team. And they were. I mean, but they should have won bigger. I mean, it should have been easier. 30. I think you picked 30 points in the pregame, and I was scratching my head and thinking you were crazy. But I mean, they should have done that. They easily should have done that with the dumb turnover that Nick Foles had. But overall, I mean, they're 5-1. I mean, and we talked about it too in the pregame that they've got three big games coming up now, and they've got themselves in position. The defense has stepped up, but now the offense has to step up, and they have to find a way to somehow move the ball at the end of the game to run out these clocks and help this defense. The defense is doing everything.
You know, Patrick, it's funny. There's a lot of things, and we can talk about the officiating till we're blue in the face. The second, I don't know if the first one was pass interference or illegal hit, but the pass interference call on Kyle Fuller that took the Eddie Jackson touchdown off the board, if that ball's not tipped, I can see the call. He came over his back. There's no question about it. What was interesting is it was one of the worst TV broadcasts I've ever seen, because they show the replay, and the ball is clearly not tipped by Khalil Mack, but it looked like it was tipped by Lyle Nichols, just barely, but the spin on the ball clearly changed. If it's tipped, it's a bad call. Either way, I'm okay with that, okay? I mean, you know, that's going to happen. It's live speed. But the first one, to call that, it was shoulder to shoulder. Kyle Fuller is textbook playing the game the way you're trying to teach people to play the game. And if you're going to flag him for it, why play the game? It just doesn't. And then Mike Pereira comes on and makes an excuse for it. It says there was no helmet involved. It was just an absolutely outrageous call.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's almost like he tried to hit him with his back. You see Kyle almost turn, you know, more than sideways and just try to hit him with his back. And there's what they teach you when you're playing, it's called a hip by as well. Just if you're running down and you're trying to get a block on kickoff, you just put your hands up in the air and basically block with your back. And that way you can't get a penalty called on you. You can't get a penalty called by, you know, pushing in the back or, you know, leading with your head or anything. And that looks like what Kyle Fuller's trying to do. And the other part is the receiver's going down at the same time. How is he? And Kyle's trying to get, looks like he's trying to get even lower so he's not getting illegal contact, but they called it. I don't know. He's doing it the right way. He almost hit him with his back, and that's just a bad call.
All right, Patrick, I've got more thoughts, but we do have a new feature on our postgame show this year, our Prop Swap postgame show presented by New Mail. Our morning host here at 670 The Score and longtime NFL analyst and Tribune columnist doing his work on the radio these days, Mike Mulligan, is going to be checking in with us every week. It's great to have Mully once again this week. And, you know, Mike, there's something about this football team. I'm talking about the Bears at 5-1. You know, there's really no reason to complain. But they just won't leave you satisfied. You know, I can't get my arms around some of the things that they're doing here. And I'm curious what your reaction is as we look at this 23-16 Bears win today.
Chippy, sloppy, penalty-filled, insane time management at the end of the game. It was a perfect 2020 Bears victory, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really
it
was.
It was, Mully, and it's just – go ahead. Yeah. You got him? No, I was just saying it was, and it's just – I guess that who the team is right now. We're 6 weeks into the season. They're 5-1, and we're finding out their defense is pretty darn good, but we just know their offense isn't good. And he said he was got to fix the details. I mean, they had a timeout – they had to delay a game after a timeout again. That's inexcusable. You can't do that. I don't understand what is going on and how their process of trying to fix this, it's just not working. It's infuriating to hear about how they're going to fix it, but they just don't do it.
They had two. They had the one on the opening drive, and then they jumped offside after a timeout. When you're down near the goal line, and you end up with a red zone stop anyway. So I guess since neither of them really mattered, I guess it's okay to commit. How many penalties was it? It was 10. I lost track. It was a football field worth of penalties, and I get it. Some of it was goofy calls. There were a couple of things that you were just scratching your head about. But guys, how do you have penalties coming off timeouts? How do you have a timeout and then come back on the field and have a delay of game? And it didn't matter. Foles threads the needle, and you get Cole Kmet's touchdown. It was wonderful. But goodness gracious, that even that play calling on that series was very confounding. You know, Jimmy Graham has no legs left, right? Can we agree on that? He just doesn't run well anymore. So if you're going to throw the ball to him, throw it to him in the end zone. The idea of him, he's going to catch like that pass and run by anyone, he just doesn't do that anymore. So it was, you know, you would think after the sudden change, you might want to go in the end zone there. But none of it mattered because they end up scoring and they ended up winning the game. And it's just a typical Bears game.
You know, Mike, everything you just described drove me nuts as well. But at least all of that involves multiple people, multiple bodies, multiple brains. But then I come back to the second to final possession of the game, and you're trying to run out the clock. You've got third and three. You've got one timeout left. There's almost 2 minutes left in the game. And as soon as the second down play is over, I tweet, "You cannot throw the ball here, Matt. Don't do it." He goes up and throws the football, throws an incompletion, and I tweeted, "I knew he was going to do it, and I still can't believe he did it." You know, I mean, just some of this stuff, and they're 5-1. You know, I mean, that's what makes this all so confounding.
That time management, what did that drive take, 15 seconds? I mean, you know, the insane part of that is they've got three timeouts. You make them burn two of them. If nothing else, if you run the ball there, I mean, hopefully you can run the ball against a team that doesn't defend the run and get a first down and put the game away. But if nothing else, you force them to burn their final timeout, and then when they get the ball at the end of the game, they're really scrambling because they can't throw in the middle of the field because they obviously don't have any timeouts. So I just didn't understand that play call. And we've seen that. We've seen it before, and we thought, well, that's something that he'll learn from. Surely someone will get in his head about that one. It just didn't make any sense. And it's so frustrating to see a 15-second drive in that spot.
Mully, he did it last week.
Yes.
I mean, and I think it's the third time in the season. I know, but it's last week. Like, shouldn't that be? Well, okay, I'm sorry. They played on Thursday, so it's not fresh in his mind. But it was last week. That's just something I just don't understand how they do that every time. It's just, it's football 101. Make them burn their timeouts, run the clock down, use the clock. It's just, it's infuriating, but he's gotten away with it. So has he learned? I mean, Hub, will you guys ask him about that? And what will his answer be? Because I know you guys have asked him about it before.
He'll talk around it and he'll acknowledge that, you know, maybe there were other choices, but he'll tell us about some great play he had dialed up or, you know, or whatever it was. Or I don't know, you know, maybe it'll be different this week. It's always harder. I'm not complaining because it's obviously more pleasant for all of us when they win, but it's harder when they win because, you know, you can only push them so hard. And you know, Mike, I'll tell you, I do want to talk about some of the good stuff with you too, though.
Yes.
This defense is starting to look like we expect it to. And they played a hell of a game today. You know, Carolina is not a great football team, but they have been very good on offense, even without Christian McCaffrey the last 3 weeks ago. And the way that defense played, they should have won this game going away. I mean, it should have been 25 points and over halfway through the third period.
Yeah, you know, it's something else because obviously you're going against the 43-year-old quarterback Tom Brady a week ago, and this week it's the 31-year-old offensive coordinator Joe Brady. And when you watch them play, it's that scheme as much as anything else. They've got some great individual parts to it, but the fact that you can lose a guy like McCaffrey and still be this dangerous offense and still be able to attack people in the way that they've done it, the guy is a very good offensive coordinator, and that team has played very well. They've won three games in a row coming into this game, and so you think that it's going to be a little bit of a challenge. I liked the matchup before the game because I felt like their weakness was against the Bears' strength, right? They don't do a very good job in the red zone, and the Bears are fantastic in the red zone. They're not a great third down team, and the Bears will shut you down on third down, and I think they limited them to 23% or something this week. But this is another Bears defensive victory. And I think that with the offense and, you know, at some point they're going to be dangerous on every play and all that stuff, they have this defense that they can rely on. They get the two takeaways that end up, you know, obviously leading to points in the course of the game, and then they win the game with another takeaway at the end of the game. So they wind up with three takeaways. We all know what that means. When you protect the football and get three takeaways, you're going to win. Period. End of story. I think they had four sacks in the game, but the pressures on the quarterback were huge. The last interception was because of the pressure on the quarterback. They're doing a great job on that defense in that front line.
Yeah, that's the neutralizer for this defense. And Teddy Bridgewater came into the game, I think, completing like 73% of his passes. Today he went for 55% of his passes, and he was just pressured the whole day, and he just couldn't get, you know, could not get going. And you're right, Joe Brady, watching tape going into this game, the offense was very efficient. You know, they took what was given to them with the short underneath passes. They had some concept routes that worked very well. But when you got a front four like the Bears getting after you at the quarterback position, you can't work. So let's just hope this continues and they just keep getting better and better, or just perform like they did today against everybody else. And that just gives the Bears a chance to win every Sunday.
When you see a guy like Okung being the guy that's jumping off sides, right? That's a veteran player who's had a career, and he's the guy that is like worried about the guys he's trying to block. That tells you a lot about how that defensive line gets in people's heads.
You know, Molly, it's interesting you mentioned Okung. One other thing, or at least one other thing, I want to get to with you is that I keep waiting for the Bears offense to be dangerous, but I've been coming to the conclusion, and they kind of cemented it for me today, it's not going to happen this year. And I think the reason is because the offensive line just is not good enough. And I got to go back and watch the film before I'm too hard on Rashad Coward. He got his head handed to him a couple times by that rookie, Derek Brown. Now, that kid's going to be a stud. But nonetheless, he's in there instead of Alex Bars because he had some experience. But I got to look at the whole game. But here's one thing I do not have to look at the whole game for. Charles Leno is awful. I mean, it just jumped out. And I hate to do that because he's a nice kid. But this is my job. You know, this is what we're here for, is to talk about what we're seeing. And he just got his butt beat all day long. And, you know, this is on the entire organization that this is the offensive talent that they chose to – offensive line talent that they chose to come into this season with. And I don't know that we can fairly judge the receivers and the tight ends and even the quarterbacks, because the offensive line is not giving them a chance.
Philosophically, giving those guys contracts, giving money to those guys meant that they were going to stay with this team, right? And I think mm-hmm. that the error was giving the contracts out, Hub, because I'm kind of with you. I thought they could have, you know, you look at teams, especially when you start talking about a quarterback and judging an era, protection so important in that. And I think that some organizations go out and try to build their line and the Bears kind of went in a different direction with that. And because they rewarded those guys, they were stuck bringing them back. I didn't expect them to get rid of anybody coming into this season just based on the contract. So, you know, moving forward, we still don't know what the long-term future of the quarterback position is. So that might prevent you from being able to invest the high draft picks in the offensive line, but that would certainly be something they really need to get done.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. That's the future. But you got who you got right now.
That's it.
And I just don't know how much better they're going to get. But you know who played a great game? The Bears kicker, Cairo Santos.
Absolutely,
I was 55 yarder.
I can't believe
that was huge.
That's a career high. I keep wondering. You know, we keep half waiting. When's Danny Pinheiro coming back? Is he ready? Is he going to do anything? I don't know that he's coming back now. I don't know how you sit this guy down after that.
Well, not only was that 55 a career high, but it was center cut, and I think it had another 6-7 yards in it, didn't it, Pat?
It looked like it. He's just hitting the ball pure, too. You can kind of tell when you just watch a kicker if it's moving left to right or the nose is kind of wobbling left to right. This thing's just spinning, you know, it's spinning really well. So he's hitting the ball well, and just hope he can continue this throughout the year and keep it running.
And I was getting frustrated by that drive, too, at the end of the game. I was thinking, like, what are they doing here? Don't they want to score? And then they end up with the field goal. So what are you going to say? But the idea of that guy kicking a 55-yard field goal at the end of the half there, that was certainly implausible.
Molly, I know we got to let you go, or at least I don't want to overstay our welcome with you. But one more thing, I'm curious for your opinion before we find out what you and David are doing in the morning. When the officiating starts impacting the outcome of the game is when I have a real problem with it. And I know it's a tough job, but we're seeing the same mistakes made week in and week out. And I just thought it was pretty awful today. I'm curious what your take on that was.
Well, I thought the one pass interference call was just a mystery flag. I didn't understand that at all. And, you know, I thought if the pass wasn't deflected, then I understood that. But officiating has not covered itself in glory. Let's be honest about it. And, you know, it's weird because I know there are limited fans there, but it seemed like that was almost like home crowd officiating for whatever reason. You really, you know, you felt when the Bears were making some of the mistakes, they were making some bad mistakes. But there were other times where they weren't getting a break at all, and that seemed rather cruel.
Yeah, the pass interference on Jaylon Johnson clearly put seven on the board. The illegal hit against Kyle Fuller in the first half. They might have gotten three anyway. I don't know if it put points on the board, but
right.
you just watch it, and it couldn't be more frustrating. So you got a victory Monday coming tomorrow. I know that it's always more fun when the Bears get a win. Anything special we should look for from you and David?
Well, we got Bigsy at 6:40. We'll talk to Tom Thayer at 7, and we have Olin at 8 o'clock. So it's always a joy to talk to those guys morning after a game, and we'll be picking it apart, guys, as I'm sure you're about to do with the great fans of Chicago.
All righty, Mike, thank you so much for joining us. That is Mully, half of Mully and Haw, every morning here at The Score from 5 to 9. And as I mentioned, Victory Monday here at The Score tomorrow, so you want to be with us all day long. Patrick and I are with you for the next hour and a half or so, taking your phone calls at 312-644-6767. We'd rather talk to you, but if you don't want to talk, you can text us at that number as well. You've got the Prop Swap post-game show presented by New Mail. We thank you so much for joining us. We are back in just a moment to talk to you.
And this one in the books. Bears 23, Panthers 16. It's not quite a fade to black. Who wants another? You want another fade to black? I mean, this was just a hard-fought win in the NFC, and they're 8-1 in the last 9 NFC games and 5-0 in the NFC for the first time since the Super Bowl year of Lovie Smith in 2006, and the defense does have a big day with the three. You needed three takeaways today.
Your TV screen just faded to black.
Okay, fade to black. Bears win it 23-16.
We're back with more of the Prop Swap post-game show with Hub Arkish and Patrick Manley on Sports Radio 670 The Score, presented by PNC Bank, the official bank of the Chicago Bears.
Welcome back, everybody. Patrick Manley here. I'm Hub Arkish. We're going to take you up until about 5:30 or so. We will then, or maybe, I don't know, 5:15, whatever it's going to be, we will hand it off to Big Ann. Anthony Heron and Olin Kreutz will be back in for the post-game show, so best Bears talk in town right here at 670 The Score all afternoon long. We'll take you right up to Sunday Night Football, and we will have that game for you here at The Score as well. We'll get you up to date on all the scores of the early games as well as games in action, and we're going to talk some more, obviously, about everything that happened in Carolina today. And Patrick, why don't we get right to the phones, and we'll start with our guy Steven, who's in Columbus these days. Steven, how you doing, bud?
Hi, Hob, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Well, that last drive, the 3rd and 2, I think that pretty much sums up everything that is wrong with the Bears offense. Nagy just have no trust in the offensive line, you know, especially on that left side with Leno, who's basically just out there taking up spaces. And Coward, who plays like just like his last name. I mean, he is so slow and very, very, I don't know. He just doesn't do it for me. And I just don't understand why Alex Barrs just wasn't in there in the game when he wasn't injured at all. I just don't get the decision there. I think Juan Castillo can only do so much with that offensive line, unfortunately. And It's unfortunate. It is what it is, like you said.
Well, Steve, let me see if we can get you some answers then, buddy. One thing I will take exception to, because quite frankly, it pisses me off a little bit, and I did get in trouble here on The Score 17 years ago, and I'm going to do it again anyway. Don't call an NFL player a coward. I mean, you know, it's his last name, and that's all well and good. But of all the things we can accuse him of, it's not that. Rashad Coward is a converted defensive lineman trying to play offensive line. Didn't play well, but we don't really need to insult anybody here. I don't want to insult Charles Leno. You know, Pat, he's not playing well, you know, and the offensive line is a tremendous frustration. And Matt Nagy continues to make one questionable game management decision after another.
Well, we'll start with a 3rd and 2. You know, now it's getting to a point it doesn't surprise me anymore. Because, I mean, how many times have we seen it? He lines up in shotgun with the back to the right or left and tries to throw the quick pass and it doesn't work out. They're not winning their one-on-one matchups out there. As far as Rashad Coward, did not play his best game. Yeah, he's doing the best he can. He hurt him bad down there in the red zone when Derek Brown beat him, and they ended up with, I think it was on 3rd down or 2nd down, and pushing him back. And that hurt him quite a lot. And he gave up a couple pressures. And I can't wait to see the all 22 to see how his overall game was. But, and then, you know, Charles Leno's just not what he was and never was going to be an elite left tackle. That's kind of how they paid him. It just is what he is. But what we're finding out, Hub, is it's not a Harry Hiestand problem. it's not a Juan Castillo problem if you got two good offensive line coaches and you still have the same problem.
Yeah, and we should remind everybody, Juan Castillo wasn't even there today. He very responsibly self-reported contact with somebody with COVID. He has not tested positive, but that calls for some level of self-isolation. He's been away from the team, I think it's since Tuesday or Wednesday. The assistant offensive line coach, Donovan Raiola, certainly apt and able, had him out there today. It's not like he's responsible for anything that happened in the last three, 4 days. He's been trying to fill in for his boss. It's a talent level issue, you know, and you know, when you say Matt Nagy, there's a lot of things I'm going to criticize Matt for today, but when you say he doesn't have any confidence in his offensive line, neither do I. I mean, who does? He is unfortunately stuck with trying to find answers, Pat, try different things because the offensive line is not getting the job done.
No, I get it. But, you know, to go back to that last third down, there's a point, too, even if you don't trust your offensive line to get that first down, I think you've got to even run the ball no matter what.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're going to run the clock down and you're going to make them burn a timeout. Because if you got worst case scenario, if you don't complete the pass, is much worse if you don't get the first down running the ball. So, I think that's a lack of trust in his running game, but it's also just a mismanagement of football and football 101 to me. But, this offensive line is just they're not going to get any better. I mean, the teams now are – you know, scheming them a little bit better up front, and they just can't adjust, and they can't block it. They can't block their one-on-ones, and then it also is part of the tight ends. You got to put it on the tight ends as well, because there was quite a few runs where they had, 12 or 13 personnel in a couple times, and the guys out wide are getting beat as well. They're coming crashing in and knocking tackles and guards over through the tight end position. So it's all across the board. The O-line didn't play great, and the tight ends aren't helping either.
On first down at the one-yard line, prior to the final touchdown, they had four tight ends on the field. Three on the line,
yep.
One at fullback, and they lost a yard. Carolina knew they were going to run it. There's got to be a gap. There's got to be a seam somewhere where you can split it, at least get back to the line of scrimmage. I mean, it's almost become comical at this point. Let's get to
Real quick, also one more thing. The first play of the second half, you know, you're like, all right, how are these adjustments going to go? Are they going to score any points? Thank God they did in the third quarter. But they came out and they ran I formation and they ran a lead left for, I think it was -1 yards. So they're right there. Matt Nagy's looking at that. He's like, scratching that thing off. I'm not running that again. Yeah. And I think that's, you know, part of it is not going back to some of those things you worked on during the week that you have in your game plan. They don't work once. You're not going to do them, but that's a Nagy issue, not calling it again, and that's an O-line problem, not blocking it up.
I mean, guys, there are certain things that are football 101, and on third and three, with a 7-point lead and a minute 47 to play at near midfield, and the defense has one timeout left, you have to make them burn that timeout, and when you don't, you're inviting the other team to come back. Any team in the NFL with a minute 40 and two and a timeout has the ability, not necessarily they're going to accomplish it, has the ability to go down the field and score a touchdown. You have to make it as hard on them as you can. You know, and if you get the first down, it looks fine. But we've heard this 1,000 times. When you throw the football in the NFL, three things can happen and two of them are bad. You want the odds on your side. And when you run the ball there, you're swinging the odds over to your side. Let's get out to Avalon Park and welcome Maurice into the show. Maurice, how you doing?
Well, hello, gentlemen. You took away a lot of my thunder.
Oh, I guess we not only we take away your thunder, we just lost you, Maurice. And not on us. No, nobody pushed a button. I'm not sure what happened there. Let's get to Brian out in Naperville. Brian, how you doing?
Hey, guys, real quick. Can anybody explain why they would call a timeout with 2:05 left in the first half when the Panthers are on the 2-yard line and you're getting the ball back either way, and then that doesn't allow you to use that timeout at the end of that first half to drive down the field? That makes no sense to me. Why would Matt Nagy call a timeout at 2:05 when the ball's on the 3-yard line and they're going to score or get the ball back one way or the other? That was a wasted timeout. I mean, he has no understanding of the worth of timeouts, I think.
You know, Brian, I got to disagree with you on that one. And initially, I thought you were right, and I even was going for the old tweet fingers again. And fortunately, I waited and thought it through. The reason for that is you stop the clock at 2:07, and then you stop it again after the play at 2 minutes, and you get the ball back with about a minute 40 or a minute 50 or whatever it may be. Whereas if you let it run to the 2 minute warning, coming out of the 2 minute warning, if you don't use that timeout anyway, you're letting them run an extra 30 or 40 seconds off the clock. So in that particular case, what he did actually worked out for him. You know, but it's been rare for him. I will certainly give you that. But Pat, you remember the one I'm talking about? Because initially I thought Brian was right, but that actually did work out the right way.
I do, and that's one that I have to sit there and kind of think about it as well. And it makes complete sense, and I agree with you too, Hub. And that was one I was like, what is he doing? Mm-hmm. Then the game gets going. I forgot to think about it, but that's the right way to do it. You got to preserve time as much as you can, and it obviously worked out. They went down and were able to kick the field goal, so it did work out. But that's one I think you could, yeah. They got that one right. You're right. Yeah.
312-644-6767 is our phone number. You may text us at that number as well. That will put you in the text zone, brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. And I'm just taking a look here. A lot of the text. It's just remarkable to me, Pat. They won, and they played well for the most part. You know, I mean, the defense played really well. And yet we haven't had a positive call or a positive comment yet. And I think it's kind of what makes this team so maddening. And what's going to get really interesting now is this week they're going to get another extra day off, not the long break like they had after Thursday night, but they're going to get an extra day off. And then they're going to go to Los Angeles Monday night and take on a Rams team that it feels like there's no way they can hang with if they keep doing these same things and making these same mistakes. I mean, you see how the offensive line is struggling right now. What's it going to do with Aaron Donald in front of them? And yet, right, that's been the other side of this team, is that they get in with the better teams and they do tend to play better football.
Yeah, you're right. There's just a texter just texted, Aaron Donald is going to run over Coward like roadkill. I mean, that's going to be a big matchup. That's one where you're going to have to game plan the heck out of that to help that young guard out or whoever ends up in there. But there were some positives in there. I mean, Mario Edwards Jr. is a nice find by Ryan Pace. I got to give him credit for that. He plays a nice game. He fits right in with that defensive line. He's very aggressive. I thought Roquan Smith played pretty darn well. Well, I'll bring up a negative. Unfortunately, Danny Trevathan got beat again in the pass game. But Eddie Jackson's playing great, you know, with that nice hit on the ball. So there are some good things to talk about. It's just unfortunate that this offense is so poor. They're just poor. I mean, 23 points isn't good enough today. Should have been a day where they had, you know, 30 plus, just because the defense played so well and gave the ball in such good position to them. But I think that's just the way it is in Chicago. And I'm sure, you know, if the players, I remember when I already got done and I would turn on the score and listen to the guys talk, and it'd be a win. And there would be times they're just as negative as we are, but you want more from your team. That's just what it is to be a Bears fan. And, you know, 5-1 is awesome, but you want more. And I think that's what makes the Chicago Bears fan great. And it's kind of like what a coach is going to do. I think we talked about it last week that the coaches are going to still coach them up hard, and they should coach them up hard even after a win like this.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, listen, it just depends on the tone and the mood and where it's coming from. But in this particular case, I don't think the negativity is because Bears fans want to be negative. It's because you keep wondering how they're going to win another game if they keep playing like this. You know, I mean, and I've talked about this a lot the last week or so, but the next five now are, you get the Rams, then you get the Saints. Now, admittedly, the Saints have not been the team that we expected them to be, but we still know how much talent they have. After that, you get the Titans, who needed some luck to stay undefeated today in Houston, but they did. Then you get a Vikings team that apparently is that bad, but then you go to Lambeau. You know, and so in these next five, the way they have played recently, it's hard to envision winning more than one game. You know, and I'm not saying those will be my picks. We'll see what happens. But I do think that's where all this frustration is coming from. So let's get out to Oregon, and I think that's the state, not the city. Andy is on the line. Andy, how you doing?
Actually, Hub, it's the city of Oregon.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, so you're not as far away as I thought you are, but still appreciate the call. How you doing?
Good, Hub. Say, this may not make sense, but I will have to politely disagree with you on the call Coach Nagy made on the 3rd and 3 with 1:47 left to pass the ball. And the reason I say that is Carolina did have one timeout. They will be playing their defense, I think you'll agree with this, to stop the run, and it's very likely they would have stopped the Bears, used their timeout, and got the ball back.
Andy, let me just interrupt you for a second, okay, because there's no right or wrong here, obviously, but that's exactly the point. You wanted to force them to burn that timeout. I mean, because you end up with the exact same thing by throwing an incomplete pass, but they get the ball back with just as much or more time on the clock, and they still have a timeout. That's the point we're trying to make.
No, my point is, you know, defensively, it's critical to have timeouts, but offensively, they're not that critical for that timeout to be made available. If the Bears get the first down, the game's over, and Carolina does not have a chance. It's kind of like in blackjack, taking a hit on a 16 against the dealer's 10. It doesn't make any sense, but statistically, it bears out in the long run that was the proper play.
I don't know about that analogy, but I understand what you're saying. Yeah, go at 16, stay at 17. I don't know that it bears out in the long run in football, though. I think they're two totally different situations. Pat, again, obviously everybody's entitled to their opinion. I just, like Andy said, I respectfully disagree with him.
Yeah, and I do too. And I'm just a believer. Take those timeouts away. Those things are like gold. I've seen enough. You know, you sit there and work on situational situations during practice, and you'll go, you know, 140 with no timeouts, 140 with or 112 with, you know, one timeout or whatever. You work all those 2-minute drills in. And it's just, there's a lot more success I've seen happen, not only in games, but just practice and simulating all that stuff when a quarterback has that timeout. It seems like it's a better deal for them for them to score points. And I just a firm believer, always take that timeout away. Always take the timeouts away.
All right, let's get one more before we have to break. Jeremy is out in Denver, and this time I assume we're in Colorado. I don't think there's a Denver, Illinois that I know of anyway. Jeremy, thank you for dialing us up, buddy. How you doing? Jeremy, are you there?
Fell asleep.
Okay, it seems like Jeremy may have dropped out there. I apologize for that. Again, guys, 312-644-6767 is the phone number. We're going to have to break here in just a minute, but we've got a good hour and a half to take all of your phone calls about the Bears' 23-16 victory over the Carolina Panthers today. One of the things, Pat, that is really good to see is rather than focusing on the ills of the offensive line, the defensive front is arriving. And you know, I've been wondering where Robert Quinn has been. He didn't get a sack today, but he had a bunch of pressures. He was definitely collapsing the pocket. One of the things that we talked about specifically in the pregame show appeared to be a focus that the Bears worked on, which was getting great pressure from the inside, but containing the inside and forcing Teddy Bridgewater to step into pressure. And yes, he did step through a couple times for some nice scrambles, but that's actually where almost all those sacks came, was him trying to step up in the middle and getting dropped.
Yeah, they play good up all, everybody up front just played great. I mean, that's one of those games as a lineman, you're like, oh no, God, let's not be in second long, let's not be third long, because you know they can just pin their ears back. And they're all playing great right now. And Robert Quinn, you know, you want to see him finish, but you know, you hear stats of pressures are just as important. I think you kind of saw that today with Teddy Bridgewater, you know, throwing the interception at the end of the game because of the pressures. And I think that's, you know, it's a combination of all of that. And it's I'm happy to see it come to fruition. You know, we've talked about it in the pregame. I keep saying that, but where all the money is, it's on the defensive side of the ball. Well, they won the game today, and they did what they were supposed to do. They did what they got paid to do. They got paid, you know, they get paid a lot of money to do their job and be the best in the league, and they did a nice job today. And I just hopefully they can continue doing that. And I'm going to knock on wood that everybody can stay healthy up front. And, you know, we were a little upset, or I was, with Chuck Pagano at the beginning of the year not bringing more pressure from the outside, maybe Buster Screen or an extra linebacker. Well, it looks like now he doesn't have to do that. And now he can just dial them up randomly. And there's one, I think it was Roquan Smith, he brought off their right or their left edge that got some pressure on a little boot rollout that stopped a play. And I think when you can just dial up those random pressures, you're going to get home and make bigger plays if those four can get there.
Yeah, actually, you know, Jeremy, before he dropped the call from Denver, it says here on my screen caller or my call screener, he wanted to know why the Bears struggle on third down. There's a lot of reasons for that, obviously. You don't want to be in third and long all that often. It wasn't as nearly as bad this week as it was 10 days ago, but there were some situations. When you can't run the football, you're going to struggle on every down. But the other thing, Pat, we haven't talked about Nick Foles. And Foles played well in spurts today. But again, for some reason on those third down throws, he misses as many as he makes. There was one early in the third quarter where he's got it was Jimmy Graham running a square out. And this is where, Jonathan Vilma decided to call Jeremy Chin Jimmy for the fourth time in the broadcast, which was driving me nuts. But, Foles throws it behind Graham. If he puts it out in front of him over that shoulder, that's a big play because Chin is diving to make a stop. Graham's going to turn it up and go down the sideline. There was nobody there. He for some reason, seems to be less accurate on third down than he is on other downs.
He's like a streaky shooter in basketball. That's what it seems like to me. Like he can spin the ball great for 12 plays and loses it for 7 plays and then gets back to it. Some of those plays are he needs to make, but you know that's who he is. I mean, that's what go back to get what he get paid for. I mean, that's he's not an elite quarterback. I've got the Packers and the Bucks game on in front of me here while we're talking, and those are two elite quarterbacks that hardly ever miss those throws. But that's why they're the best at what they do. And Nick Foles is good, but he's not that great. And then that darn interception, Hub, that was awful. The one he threw, I mean, I wanted to puke. I mean, you cannot do that. That's something being the veteran that he is, knows better than that. A big sudden change, you cannot throw the ball right to those guys when they're pressured. I'd rather take the sack and kick the long field goal if you have to. You just can't make that throw. And that was, I know that's one he wants back, but that's one that should never, ever happen, especially being, you know, who Nick Foles is and as long as he's played in the league.
You know, Pat, it's funny. We're going to have to take a break here. But when he threw that pick, my first reaction is, okay, if I'm Mitch Trubisky, I'm warming up because if fair is fair, then I'm going in.
Right.
You know, and I knew it wasn't. You know, it wasn't going to happen. But that was, in some respects, worse than the pick that Mitch threw that got him benched. Again, different situations, different times. I knew it wasn't going to happen. But, yeah, I mean, we're still seeing stuff out of that position that just defies explanation. And I think you probably just said it as best as it can be said. He's a veteran. He knows what to do in certain situations. He's more calm and collected out there. He sees the field better, but he's actually not the athlete and doesn't have the traits that Mitch does. And so between them, maybe combined, if you could, you'd have one really good NFL quarterback. But individually, at least at this point, you don't have one yet. So let's see. John on the west side, you're going to be next. Herman out in Homewood's going to be right after John. We're going to get to everybody in just a moment. 312-644-6767. We got to take a quick break, but you've got the Prop Swap post-game show presented by New Mail, and we're back to take your calls in just a moment.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.